Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets program for the month of December this afternoon. Here to take your calls, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York, a USDA Category 1 accredited veterinarian. Dr. O'Loughlin is a graduate of Cornell University. She joined the Del Mar Animal Hospital staff in 1998. Always fun to have Carrie on the program. Dr. O'Loughlin, welcome back.
Thank you, Ray. It's always a pleasure to be here.
The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And as I mentioned in the opening billboard, you can tweet us if you wish, at WAMC Vox Pop. A little tricky, though, because you should provide as much information as you can in the limited number of characters. We would like to know the age, the sex of your pet. Name not necessary, obviously. An email is good, too, voxpop@wamc.org. You can go to our website, wamc.org/voxpop, and you'll find a spot to comment there. But calling is good on a call-in show. It makes it entertaining. 1-800-348-2551. So you said just now before we started that it's been a busy time at the old animal hospital, eh?
It has been. It seems to run in bunches. I don't know if it's the phases of the moon, holidays, you know, people tend to overindulge.
Animals eating things they shouldn't.
Yes, we've had a few of those.
Yeah, and there are some things that will really kill your animal that are fine for humans.
Yes, yes. Although I think one of the biggest misunderstandings this time of year is everyone's always so worried about things like poinsettias and things like that.
Are they bad?
They're not nearly as toxic as people think they are. The animal would really have to chew the entire plant to get sick. So I wouldn't worry too much about things like that.
So what's the worst holiday thing that a cat or a dog can ingest?
Good question. I guess people also worry a lot about chocolate.
Yep, I've heard that.
Yep.
The caffeine in the chocolate?
It's something similar to caffeine, yes. It's called theobromine. And the darker the chocolate, the more toxic.
Okay, so the more pure the chocolate, the worse it can be.
Yes.
Okay, and that's just for dogs or for cats as well?
Dogs and cats, although cats don't tend to indulge in the chocolate the way dogs do.
Yeah, I've not seen a cat.
We had a Labrador retriever eat a 4-pound bag of semi-sweet chocolate chips from BJ's one year.
Yes. Survive?
Yes, but we did have to make him throw it up.
Ah. You know, a neighbor of mine had a dog, little dog, I don't know, Scotch Terrier or something, I don't know, small dog, and it ate equivalent of a couple of packs of sugarless gum.
Yes.
And they took it to the emergency hospital, and the doctor said, I've seen huge labs eat less and die, and this dog survived another few years.
Yes, sugarless gum can cause their blood sugar to drop dangerously low.
The sorbitol,
so that's the danger with that.
But. All right, well, the phone lines are getting very crowded indeed. If you get a busy signal, just try again after we hang up with someone. 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, our guest on this Pets and Vets final show on Vox Pop for the year 2014. Let's start it off with Lynn in Oneonta. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
You're on.
I am calling about a brother and sister cat that I have rescued, and they're beautiful. She is very active, very thin, nonstop running around, sleeps, naps well. He, on the other hand, is very docile, has a tendency to eat a lot. And this is the problem. I have the same food for both of them by the vet. It's Royal Canine. It's very good, hypoallergenic, et cetera. I leave the food out all the time because I want to make it available to her. On the other hand, he's there and also eats as well. He has bloated up in the last 3 months. And I play with them. I do the laser, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, they're inside cats. My question is, how do I get him to lose weight and get her to even gain weight?
Okay, so I'm assuming when you say you leave the food out, you're feeding exclusively dry food?
Yes. Okay. The Royal Canine, it's very good for them.
I'm assuming one of them has allergies? That they're on the hypoallergenic?
No, it was just the best at the time because he had a slight urinary tract infection.
Okay. All right. Well, my suggestion, really the ideal thing with cats these days is to get them on canned food, if possible, especially if you have weight issues, either too thin or too fat. cats are carnivores and mm-hmm. are therefore meant to eat a very high protein, low carb diet. We jokingly call it the Catkins diet. And dry food is cereal, so it has a lot of carbohydrates. Almost all dry food is somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 40% carbs.
Wow.
So if you get them on a canned diet, most canned foods, even the quote-unquote higher carb canned foods, will be maybe 20%, 20, 25% carbs at the most, and a lot of them are 5 to 10%.
Right.
And if your thin cat eats the canned food, she will likely gain weight and get to a normal weight. The fat cat will lose weight, and I've had fat cats lose 3 or 4 pounds over a fairly short period of time just switching to canned food. And it's better for their urinary tract. If he's had urinary tract issues, being on a wet food diet is going to be much better for him.
So make it exclusively wet food.
Yes.
He's always ignored it. He's almost stepped back and let her eat. The wet food, that is. But
right.
I will try that, and that sounds like a terrific idea.
Yep. And there are some suggestions if you do some searches online for transitioning cats over from dry food to wet food. One trick is Temptations cat treats. You can crush them up and sprinkle them on the food, and sometimes that will stimulate them. Or crushed up bacon.
No way.
Yeah. And that will entice them to start eating it, and then once they start eating it. And I always say, if you're going to do any dry food, think of it like potato chips. Just a little treat.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Not their main food.
Okay. Lynn, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy
Bye-bye.
New Year to you, too.
Happy New Year.
So will the bacon work for cats as well? I have an issue as well.
Yes.
Dry food, the cat loves dry food.
Yeah.
I buy cans, and the cat, once in a while, will have a nibble.
Yep. So, you know, but it's not long-term a great thing, but in the short term to get them started and sort of entice them.
Who knew that cats like bacon?
Yeah.
Wow, amazing. Let's go to Sarah in Bloomington. Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to have you here.
Hi, Sarah.
I have two black Labradors. One will be 10 in February. The other will be 7. Lola, the 7-year-old one, has in the last couple of months taken on some really weird behaviors. And I'll describe a couple of them to you. Once I was driving along in the back road at darkness, and she climbed over the back seat. And this is all stuff she's never, ever done before. She climbed over my left shoulder while I was driving into my lap. As I was driving, I had to pull over and, you know, make her get away from me so that I could continue to drive. She's lately been trying to get into the cabinets underneath our kitchen sink. She did it also to my husband while he was driving his van. She sort of shimmied herself underneath his legs where the gas pedal is while he was driving. And those are those kinds of things. And the other weird thing that she's been doing, and we walk our dog 2 to 3 miles every day. Sometimes now she's halfway out there and she just puts the brake on and she doesn't want to go any farther. What can I do?
Well, it sounds to me like she's exhibiting some form of anxiety behavior, which certainly anxiety behaviors can get slightly worse with age. So it may be something that's been sort of brewing under the surface and now is coming out as she's getting older. However, there are also potential, medical issues that could be, start stimulating this behavior. Labradors are somewhat prone to an underactive thyroid. I would start with getting her just a good checkup and make sure that there's nothing physically wrong with her, and maybe some screening blood work to rule out any physical issues. And then, potentially if that's all ruled out, one thing is, really ramping up the exercise. If they're tired and worn out, they're less likely to have anxiety type issues.
Right.
And then if all else fails, there are some anti-anxiety medications that can be given.
Yeah. The one thing that we did do is we put her crate back up. We took their crates away because we just got tired of having these big gigantic crates. But we put her crate back up and we put a blanket over it, thinking that she wants to have a cave.
And
she slept in it last night, and she seems pretty happy about it.
Yeah, some dogs really do feel more comforted in a cave situation. So certainly the crate would be a good idea. The other thing is, if you haven't done it before, I don't know if you've ever done any obedience type behavior with her.
She's been through obedience training and she was doing agility for a while, but she gets too overly stimulated by the agility, so we had to discontinue it.
Right. But even just, you know, especially if she's showing any anxious behavior, sort of getting her back into the school type of mindset and mm-hmm. doing some little training exercises with her may help reset her behavior.
Okay, we'll try that.
Thanks, Sarah. Appreciate the call.
Good luck.
Thank you. Have a happy new year.
You too. So Sarah mentioned she walks the dog 2 to 3 miles a day. Isn't that enough physical activity?
It depends on the dog. You know, some dogs, I used to go running with my Labrador and he halfway through the run would be like, I don't want to do this anymore. And he was good. I didn't have to keep him on the leash and I would keep running and he would wait for me. And you know, so he would do half a mile, I'd do 3 miles. But then when we got back to the house, he wanted to play Frisbee, you know, so it depends on what they enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
There are some behaviors, you know, the dog may be more happy having a tennis ball thrown for it out in the yard than going for a walk.
Makes sense. And labs love to swim too, right?
True. Yep. Swimming.
Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest on this Pets and Vets edition for December 31st. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts. Locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement. A proud supporter of public radio, FortHillAutoBody.com. And Northshire Bookstore, Manchester, Vermont, Saratoga, New York, featuring a children's section with toys, games, activities, and clothing. Northshire.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. It is a Pets and Vets here on a New Year's Eve. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Ray Graff here with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. And you at home or wherever you are, if you're on the road, hands free, please. Harriet in Woodstock. Harriet, you're on.
Hi. Yes, thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Here's a question. It's not about my dog. A friend of mine has a dog. It's the first one she's ever had. It's a poodle. A poodle mix of some kind, and I'm very concerned, and maybe this is a little bit of being a busybody, but it appears that she is almost exclusively feeding her dog raw chicken, chicken thighs, and almost nothing else, and I'm very concerned about that, and I also... What about, I always heard chicken bones are about the worst thing a dog could get hold of. And so I have a big concern about this, and I've mentioned it to her, but nothing has changed.
Yeah, so, you know, the raw diet phenomena has become quite popular, and it can be done correctly and it can be done incorrectly. So, you know, just feeding, if she truly is just feeding chicken thighs to her dog, then that is not a well-balanced diet. They're not going to have the minerals and vitamins and all the subnutrients that they need. That said, the raw diets, if done correctly, work great for some dogs and some people. They've even come out with prepackaged raw foods that you can buy. Even in places like PetSmart, I've seen they have refrigerated cases now that they're selling it in. So that would be fine, but straight chicken, not good. Chicken bones, if they're really fresh, like you get a raw whole chicken and the dog eats the bones, it's less worrisome because the bones are not as brittle. Once they've been cooked, then they're very brittle and can definitely poke holes where things don't want to be poked. Mm. So it's a tricky thing to bring up with a friend. I probably wouldn't, you know, push it too much and ruin your friendship, but, you know.
For the sake of the dog.
I know. It's something that, you know, you might want to at least say, well, have you talked to your vet about it and see if she's had that conversation and get the vet involved if you can.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Harriet. That's an interesting situation. What do you do if your friend is doing something wrong?
Yeah, you know, it's a touchy thing. It's like, you know, trying to tell your friend not to smoke.
Yeah, that never works.
Yes.
All right, let's go to John in Albany. John, you're on.
Hi, Doctor. Hi, Ray.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So I've got two rescues, a Yorkie and a Morkie. They came together. The little teacup Yorkie, 14, 15 months old now, it's still being, I think, overly puppyish in that she gets into things. I can't leave anything out, bags, papers. She tears them apart when I'm not here. She pees. They're pad trained, or I'm trying to pad train them, because in the cold weather, especially if there's a lot of snow or ice, it's very too little to take outside. And she will even pee. She's peed in the crate. She's peed on the bed. You know, they sleep with me. I just come a couple of behaviors like that. That I had a Yorkie before who never did anything like that. You know, they don't always make the pads, but at least they get to the bathroom. It's good because it's a tile floor. Right. So I'm just concerned about the chewing, the ripping things up. Anything I leave out, she gets into it.
Yeah.
She'll find a way into the bag.
So, John, the chewing behavior, is that primarily happening when you're not home?
Yes.
And how about the not going on the pads? Is that when you're not home as well, or also when you're home?
It's mixed, the peeing.
Okay.
Catch them, you know, I try to monitor them. I put them in the bathroom and shut the door. They're good about that. I'll, you know, go into the bathroom and find that they've done their business, and I praise them for that. You know, but then randomly she'll just decide that she can't make it, or and on the bed especially is concerning to me.
Yeah. So
dogs instinctually don't go where they sleep.
Yeah. So you know, generally, What you're describing is a dog who just isn't quite housebroken as far as the urination issue. So in that case, what I recommend is basically going back and pretending she's still a puppy, which means she is never left unsupervised when she's loose in the house. You need to have your eyes on her at all times, even if it means hooking her to you with a leash.
Yeah,
so that
I was starting to do that. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, instead of locking them in the bathroom, I would, you know, take her to the pad. And as soon as she squats on the pad, praise, tell her she's the best dog ever. And if she starts to do it somewhere else, it's a quick, sharp reprimand. And then take her to the pad and praise until she understands that's what she's supposed to do. If she's going to the bathroom on your bed at night, then it means she can't sleep in the bed with you. It means back in the crate at night. And if she's going to the bathroom in the crate, it means the crate is too big. So you need to partition it so she's got a very small area, because they really don't want to pee where they sleep. And, you know, if she's going on your bed, she's probably peeing and then moving. She's not sitting in the pee.
No.
So you need to have her in a place where she would be forced to sit in her pee if that's what she's going to do. And most dogs won't do that.
I could partition it, make it a little smaller.
Right.
It's not a crate at all.
Yep. And the chewing
that she flew in.
Yep. The chewing stuff is a little bit of separation anxiety. So she doesn't like being left alone. So it's, again, either finding a place in the house where you can leave her, where she's not going to be destructive, having the other dog there to keep her company, turning radios on, you know, leave your TV on, something like that. There's a lot of behaviors that you can do for separation anxiety. But that tearing up of papers when you're gone is a sign that she's anxious when you're gone.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you both.
John, okay. Thank you very much for the
good
call.
Good luck.
So let's talk briefly about negative operant conditioning. You mentioned if the dog pees in the bed, take the dog and put the dog in the crate.
Right.
But it would take a long time for the dog to get that message, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, you're trying to get the dog to learn to not go to the bathroom where it sleeps and also get the dog house trained. I mean, obviously, clearly this dog, the fact that it's also going to the bathroom in other places, it just isn't housebroken. My rule is once they've gone a month with no accidents, then you can start giving them some freedom and trusting them.
Okay. Back to the phones we go at 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. Sally in Rotterdam, you're on.
Hi. I have a senior dog, three of them actually, and one of them is a 15-year-old Chihuahua Pomeranian mix, and he's become incontinent, and so I've been managing it by taking him out as often as I can, and also for when we are home, and well, at all times, he's wearing a belly band just to protect floors and furniture and such. Is there anything else that I should be doing to help him?
So when you say he's incontinent, is he literally dripping? I'm assuming you're talking about urine.
And, urine, yes.
And is he dripping the urine, or is he just urinating a lot and more frequently?
Urinating a lot more frequently, and when I take the diaper, the belly band off him, it will then fall out of the diaper also.
Okay. And have you had him checked? Have you had his urine looked at and had a veterinarian look at him?
No, not since the fall. And I mentioned it, and they said, well, just take him out more often. And we do that, but now it's getting cold and so on.
All right. I mean, my recommendation, I would like to see a urine sample analyzed to see, you know, is there something going on with the urine? In other words, he's not, you know, concentrating his urine well, where that means he's making lots and lots of urine. Sometimes they just can't hold it as well. And then there are reasons for that. So making sure, you know, he's not having a kidney problem or a liver problem. Some of those you can do things about to improve that situation. If you find that there's something going on and it's not that fixable, but he's still going to be making lots of urine, there are medications that can help sort of strengthen his urine sphincter so that he can hold the urine better. And those may help keep him from dripping. And then sometimes if all else fails, it is diaper time. But there are potentially some things that could be done to help improve the situation.
That answers my question. But it'll never get better than what it is right now unless we do something more about it.
Correct.
Okay, Sally, thanks a lot. So really, a checkup is the first thing.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Back to the phones, John in Gloversville. John, you're on.
Hi, thank you. We have a chocolate, and since I stopped hiking a year or two ago, both of us have packed on some pounds. And the thing is, so I have her during the day, and I give her a skimpy cup of Purina Jog Chow, which is what my daughter uses and my son-in-law, and then I'll cut up half an apple. She likes apples, and I peel it and give her half an apple, and she just wolfs that down. And this is after a morning walk and stuff, and I take her for several fairly good walks a day. And then in the afternoon, I give her maybe no bigger than the size of a finger. I dice up some real unfatty chicken, and she likes that. And that's about it. But she's kind of lost that. She's losing her weight, so, you know, a nice figure a little bit. And I feel kind of guilty. Is that the wrong kind of dog food?
So you're talking about a chocolate lab?
Yes, miss.
And how much does she weigh about?
Well, right now she's probably about 85 to 87 pounds.
Okay.
She doesn't look obese or anything, but...
Okay. And she's only getting a cup of food a day?
Well, for me.
Okay.
And then, but at my daughter's, they keep her bowl, you know, with food in it, and she can eat as she pleases.
Ah. Okay. Yeah, so, and is she with you half the time and them half the time? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I have her till, like, dinner time, and then she goes home.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to control her weight if... they are leaving food out for her to eat free choice because she's a Labrador. So they don't.
Everything's a treat.
Yeah, they don't know when to stop. So I think if you know, to get her weight under control is going to take getting everyone in the family on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I usually recommend is you figure out how much is she eating in a day, and you want to decrease that by about 25 to 30%. And then if she's really starving, throw some green beans on her food. Green beans are filling. It's like salad for a dog. A lot of dogs like it. And
are they cooked or raw?
Cooked, raw, frozen. They
really?
Really don't care. And it just
eat almost anything.
Right. And it just fills them up, and then they feel like they're getting more to eat, but you're not giving them a ton of calories.
Now, you know those little wishbone treats?
Yes.
Okay. So I break those. I'm not cheap or something, but she doesn't care. You know, the lab will treat the treat. So just so to keep things under control, I break them in like 3 or 4 pieces, and she doesn't care. She just, it's a treat. And so I try to, are those bad for her, or can't you say?
Well, you know, any treat, they're like cookies. So you just have to, you know, the idea, I think that's a great idea, breaking them into little tiny pieces.
Yeah.
As you said, all they know is you're handing them something.
Yep.
Other good things are the raw baby carrots. They're crunchy,
yeah, yeah.
And the dogs think they're great. I even have had some dogs who think ice cubes are great. And I heard that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had one golden retriever that lost 20 pounds switching from milk bones to ice cubes.
Oh, man.
And the dog was thrilled.
An ice maker, so.
Yeah.
Well, that's an inexpensive solution.
Yep. So, but I think until you get the other house on board, you're probably not going to be successful on the diet.
One more quick question, please.
Sure.
Okay, so I told you it's dog chow, and she likes, I mean, dogs like what they like. But the thing is, I can't afford, like, prime rib dog food or something. But is this dog food suitable? It's okay?
Yes. I mean, Okay. Pretty much any of the name brand dog foods for the average dog is going to be just fine.
Well, you mentioned with the cats that that dry food has more carbs in it. And stuff.
Right. It's less of an issue for dogs. Dogs are omnivores, so they're made to eat carbs as well as protein. So.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Okay.
Thank you, and happy New Year, John. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Theoretically, though, if a dog is gaining weight and not eating that much, there can be medical reasons
True.
Behind that, right?
Absolutely, yes. Again, the thyroid that I mentioned earlier, that's a big one. But the vast majority, it's just too many calories.
Yeah.
Like too many calories going in, not enough calories going out.
Like people.
Yes.
Let's go to Bennett in Newburgh. Bennett, you're on.
Yeah, if I may, just 2 very quick questions. One is it necessary to put Frontline or other, you know, systemic tick repellents on a dog during the winter months when there aren't any ticks around?
Well, the problem is there are ticks around. Ticks do not go away in the winter. They will be active any day it goes above 32 degrees. So I had a dog in the other day with a tick on it. So, you know, if we lived somewhere where it went below freezing and never got up above freezing, then I would say, yes, you could take a break. But around here, I would not, especially with Lyme disease. We just had a dog in with Lyme disease yesterday. So
thank you. I'm glad I asked, because
yep.
I figured I could spare her a few months worth of that exposure to chemicals, but I won't do it. The other question has to do with hardwood floors. I have 110-pound Newfie, and my wife won't let me put carpeting in. I'm going crazy. I want to put wall-to-wall carpeting in to spare the dog. But short of putting carpeting in, what can one do to prevent damage to the dog's skeleton when the dog's slipping all over hardwood floors?
Well, I actually found a product last year. I haven't as yet used it myself, but they're called toe grips, and they're little rubber grippers that you slide up over the dog's toenails, and it gives them gripping strength. And if you just Google toe grips, they have all sorts of videos of dogs slipping on the floor, and then they put the toe grips on, and then they're walking across the floor like they've got, you know, nice traction.
Wow.
And they seem pretty, you know, they're not like a booty, so they're not as annoying to the dog. So something like that might work.
Toe grips, I'll look them up. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Now, you mentioned a dog coming into your hospital that was diagnosed with Lyme disease.
Yes.
And I'm curious, you know, sometimes you hear horror stories of people who are very tough to diagnose with Lyme disease. How do you go about doing that in a dog?
Well, it isn't simple. We have an in-house test that tells us exposure to Lyme disease. And we have a lot of our patients that test positive. That doesn't mean they have Lyme. However, this particular patient had a fever and was lame and tested positive to Lyme.
So completely lame, unable to walk?
Well, no, just I wasn't the one who saw it. My associate saw it, so I can't give all the details. But I know he did have quite a fever, and her suspicion was Lyme. Tested the dog. It came up positive. Now, again, that still doesn't mean it's Lyme. But usually if you test them positive, they have a fever, and you give them antibiotics, and 24 hours later, the people call you and say, oh, my God, they're better.
That quickly?
It'll happen very quickly. And then that pretty much tells you it was Lyme.
Yeah.
There is another follow-up test that you can do that gives you a specific titer number that tells you that, yes, this was an active Lyme case. We don't always run that. We'll use that for dogs that have previously tested positive on our screening test, because once they test positive, they'll stay positive for quite a while.
Ah.
So you can't use the screening test. But most of the time, we just base it on clinical signs and a positive test. And your suspicions are usually confirmed when you treat them.
Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. It is Vox Pop. It is, as you may have guessed, a Pets and Vets edition here on a New Year's Eve. Let's go take a break. We'll be back with more calls at 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Inspire Design and Build, a fully custom remodeling, home addition, and new construction company located in Saratoga Springs, offering design, consultation, and estimates. InspireDesignAndBuild.com. And Hubbard Hall Center for the Arts and Education, presenting Carnival Dance Party, Saturday, January 10th, HubbardHall.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Pets and Vets here on the last day of the year. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is here. We usually see her during the fun drive, manning the phones. Will you be back for the fun drive?
Oh, I've already signed up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Are you excited?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes next one of us. All right, let's go to George at Albany. George, you're on.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Hi, George.
Good. Happy New Year. And I have two questions about my Doberman. She's a year and a half old, and we can't get her to stop eating everything and anything. She'll eat bugs, anything in the yard she sees, she wants to eat it, and we can't get her to stop it. You know, even if we pull her away, she fights to get it. And is she too old to start obedience training?
Oh, gosh, no. It's never too old to teach an old dog new tricks.
Okay.
So, yes, if she has not been through obedience, that would be the first thing to do. Because usually most basic obedience classes, as part of their training, they will teach leave it.
Okay.
That would be very helpful for a dog that keeps wanting to grab things.
Okay.
Now, some of it, I mean, bugs and things like that, you know, she's just playing and having a good time. But if it's things that you really don't want her chewing up or putting in her mouth, then getting her to learn that command would be very helpful.
Okay, thank you very much.
In fact, I have a 7-year-old dog, and we're starting obedience next week. So.
Ooh.
So they are never too old.
Thanks, George.
Okay, thank you, guys. You have a nice one.
All right, good
luck.
Happy
New Year. So there are accredited trainers for this sort of thing? Or do you do it yourself?
Oh, no. I've signed my dog up for a class just like everybody else does.
Is it an expensive thing to do?
It's not going to break the bank.
Okay, depending on the bank. Obviously.
Exactly. Right. And if you can go expensive, there are some people that will do individual at-home classes, you're going to pay a lot more for that, you know, versus going to a group class.
But I guess my question is this something that through a few YouTube videos you can train yourself to do?
Probably. The one thing I like about going to a class is it teaches my dog to listen to me in a distracted group setting with other animals around.
You have to be there.
Yes.
In other words, your dog has to listen to you and not the instructor.
Exactly.
So this is training for you as well.
Yes.
All right, good
Absolutely.
Luck. I hope you pass. Lynn in Shelburne. Lynn, you're on.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I call out parrots, but...
We don't do parrots on this.
I know.
The John Cleese show, they would have done parrots, dead parrots, but not on this one.
Right, well, I've got a cat, too, that's about 13 years old, and he's always been a little bit compulsive about bearing things. It's not too bad. I try to catch him when he's bearing things and distract him. He seems to be getting better, but I'm not sure I'm doing it right. It's in the middle of the night. You know, he comes out and eats some food out here, and he buries and buries and buries, and I tried to, put a little stick on him and say no. And he's getting better. But is there something else I can do with him, help him with? Some kind of medication?
So he's trying to bury his food?
After he eats, yeah.
Okay.
He also tries to bury himself under the covers, and if I put the covers up, he doesn't like it. He wants to bury himself in there.
Right. Yeah, this probably is just an individual behavior for him. I've had some cats do that when they don't particularly like a food. But I also have a personal cat who digs like that before he drinks his water.
Oh, yes, he does that too.
Yeah, and I've never quite figured that behavior out. And I even asked behaviorists and they didn't have an answer for me. So I think
it must be very deep.
I think it's just a quirky behavior. I don't think it's hurting anything. I probably would just ignore it.
Lynn, Happy New Year. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Doctor?
Yep.
I would like to ask you or suggest... A lot of people feed their animals off the table.
Yeah.
And it's not good.
Oh, absolutely not. You're right. Yep.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Lynn. We appreciate the call. Let's go to, I hope I have the name right, Hartmuth in Great Barrington.
Yeah, you got it. You got it right.
You are
Very
on.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, I have a 5-year-old cat, a male cat, who... keeps licking himself, and he has a bare spot right by the tail on his back, the size of half a dollar coin or so by now. Some red spots sticking or, you know, visible, and he keeps licking himself. And a couple other places he licks himself pretty, you know, more than the usual cleaning. Is there anything that you can say that is, you know, a usual case or so? Is that a known thing, known problem?
So you said that there were red spots as well?
Yeah, a little tiny red spots.
Yes, okay. So he's showing signs of an allergy.
Okay.
First question is, are you using flea and tick medication on him?
I haven't in a while.
Okay. That would be number one. Because the number one allergy you're going to see is to flea or tick bites.
Mm.
So that would be number one. And if that doesn't clear it up, then it's a matter of trying to figure out what he's allergic to. And it depends on the seasonality of it. If it's not seasonal, it could be his food. So, you know, I would try the flea medication first, and you want to use something that's one of the better products that's going to kill the fleas before they bite him. So you don't want to buy one of the over-the-counter, you know, Hart's Mountain
okay,
kind of things.
Okay, this is a good, great question. So there are any number, and without going into brand names, of flea collars that you see in various stores, big box stores or grocery stores or whatever.
Right.
And I hear horror stories from some people. Other people say it's just fine. Where do you stand on flea collars?
For the most part, I'm not real thrilled with the over-the-counter grocery store brand flea collars. I don't think they work very well. They're fairly toxic. There is a newer one that's out that's sold in pet stores called Serestor that works pretty well. But I still think the topical medications that you can use, which some are sold in the pet stores, most others are at the veterinarians, are much less toxic to the animal and tend to kill before the animals are bitten.
And that's the kind you put on the back of the neck?
Correct.
And
correct.
How often is that applied?
Usually they're monthly.
Okay.
Usually they're monthly. So Harmuth, I would, you know, I would treat for fleas, and sometimes the cat still needs something to stop the itch. So if he hasn't been to the vet, I would probably get him checked by the vet.
Okay.
Yeah, I made an appointment for next week, and I have some advantage here that I usually use on my dog and my cat, which I've been pretty happy with that I'm going to put on right now.
Just make sure you use the cat advantage and not the dog.
Oh, yeah. And the right weight and so forth. Yeah. Very good.
Thank you, and Happy
Thank
New Year.
So Happy New Year to you.
I appreciate the call.
That's one thing I want to bring up real quick is with the topical medications, there are some that are made for dogs that if you put it on a cat, you can kill the cat.
Jeez,
so
really?
You want to be very careful not to mix them up.
Okay. And as far as applying, now I've seen these in stores. You put a dab or whatever the amount is on the back of the neck where the cat can't
lick it right off.
As far as touching it yourself, I mean, do you put rubber gloves on
it? No, we usually just, I mean, you're usually applying it with the product itself.
Like
so you
a
don't
cake icer, right?
Yes. You don't have to touch it when you're applying it. And then I just tell people just not to pet them there until it's dry. It's not they're very safe. I mean, it's not going to be harmful to you if you get it on you. They've made these products all very safe.
Okay. But. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Aaron in Newburgh. Aaron, you're on.
Hi, thank you for having the program. We have two cats, about half-year-old each, sisters, in good health. Originally, they developed some problems with their gums. They had pretty loose stool consistently, very smelly. We looked into dry food, tried to get the best kind, eventually switched to a raw diet. Found some blogs by vets about how they were created their own recipe. And while we're trying to get to that point, we're relying on the Instinct brand, which is about 95% protein, organs, and bones ground up with some 5% vegetables. As soon as we switched them, took a little bit of work. They weren't thrilled about it. We added some of the Flora 40 powder to help entice them. Now they love it. And their coats are smoother, their stool doesn't smell, they're just all great. Gum disease has kind of disappeared in one and attenuated in the other. Question I have is, will they self-regulate? They seem to be willing to eat and hungry more than I would expect. They're at the higher range for a one-year-old cat according to the bag. Strikes me as a little bit chunky in the middle, the other one not. I just can't find any information.
Well, some cats will not self-regulate. So, you know, I'm not as familiar with the raw diets as far as I would imagine they're fairly protein dense and not have much carb.
Yes.
But still, you can overeat any kind of calories. So I would just, if you have a cat that seems like they are the type that wants to put weight on, I would just be careful with the amount you feed. And for the most part, most bags or cans of food, the companies do tend to over recommend feeding.
Yeah.
So even what they say on the bag is usually a little heavy.
But
you have to see how the cat does. It's all individual and how much exercise they're getting and what their metabolism is.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. Over to Ginny in Voorheesville. Ginny, you're on.
Hi, thank you. Great show.
Thank you.
I have a question. I took in a stray cat 2 years ago, and this cat constantly has roundworm, and I'll treat the cat at the vet, and then a while later it's back again, and I've had cats all my life, and I have never had my cats have never even had worms. Is there anything that I'm missing or the doctor's missing why she just constantly has roundworm?
Well, I have seen a few cats. I mean, a lot of adult cats will get pretty resistant to roundworms after a while, but I've had a few cats that just seem to have trouble getting rid of them. And the trick is you need to definitely do multiple treatments, because when you treat the cat, you're only killing off the adult worms, and any immature worms that are still in their system will then have to grow up. So
I put Profender on her, and then like a week later, I was putting on the flea tick and roundworm. But it's just that, you know, then a couple months later, she'll just have them again.
Yeah. I would probably, in a case like that, I would probably treat the cat every 2 weeks, and I would probably do it, you know, 3-4 times, and meanwhile, make sure you're really scooping that litter box on a daily basis so there's no chance that they're reinfesting themselves. The other thing is, do you have houseplants?
I do, but she doesn't touch them.
Okay, because they have found that there's a fair amount of roundworm contamination in potting soil.
Huh.
So your cats actually get roundworms from going near the houseplants.
Yeah, no, she doesn't bother my plants at all.
Okay.
But maybe she just needs. I keep thinking she never really got rid of them.
Right. So I would just try repeating the treatment several times. The treatments are pretty benign in cats, so you're not going to hurt her by overdoing it.
Okay, so I'll have to ask the vet to give me the more often. And just really quickly, I want to get her a little buddy. She's about 2. Is it better to get a male or a female? And, like, what age if you're introducing? I want to get a rescue cat. And
In general, female cats are a little less tolerant to new additions. So
right.
I definitely would probably go with a male. And if you could go younger on him, but she still may be very unhappy. I have a female cat that I introduced 3 kittens to 4 years ago, and she still hates them. So, you know,
she's very playful, and we had other cats that visited, and she was, you know, she likes playing with them.
Right.
So I thought, well, maybe she wants somebody to play with.
Yep. That's always, and sometimes getting like a pair of kittens. And then if she hates them, the kittens have each other to play with.
Oh.
There you go. Unless
they
hate each other.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jenny. Let's go over to Portia in Leverett, Mass. Portia.
Hi. I have a very quick question. I have 2 vets whom I love and admire, but they do not agree on the following question. Are grapes dangerous, grapes and raisins dangerous for dogs? I'm just interested in what you would have to say about that.
Potentially, yes.
Okay, tell me about it.
It appears to be an individual dog problem.
Uh-huh.
So I've had a couple of Labradors that have eaten grapes out of my grapevines until they couldn't eat anymore, and it didn't make them sick at all. And I've had dogs come into my office in kidney failure after eating a handful of grapes or raisins. So
a handful? What if you have a small dog and it might have 1 raisin in it?
Probably not going to hurt it.
Okay.
But we still don't know what the problem is. We don't know what it is about grapes or raisins. But in certain individual dogs, if they eat grapes or raisins, it can put them into a severe acute kidney failure.
Huh.
And how quickly would you figure that out?
Oh, it's pretty quick.
Okay.
Usually within a day or two. And it's pretty nasty. We had one dog that just barely survived after eating, you know, getting into some raisins, and it wasn't that much.
Wow.
I've heard of a Labrador who died after eating a loaf of raisin bread.
Okay.
So it can be bad, but then, you know, if your dog has eaten grapes or raisins in the past and not gotten sick, it's probably not a problem for your dog. But it's that, do you want to take the chance and find out?
Well, I went through what felt like a torture session with one little dog who might have gotten 1 raisin.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
And I didn't even want to take the time to figure out which vet to call to get which piece of advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did it after the fact and they both disagreed. So the dog is walking around quite happily.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
But thank you for that.
You're very
thank
welcome.
Thank you very much, Portia. We appreciate it. I am fascinated by the fact that you can't figure out what it is in grapes or raisins that affects some breeds. Is it just breeds or is it individual dogs?
No, it's individual dogs. I mean, because I've heard of Labradors. The one that we had that almost died was a dachshund.
Yeah.
It just seems to be something in an individual dog's metabolism.
Something that is treated. In other words, some grapes, you had grapevines, fresh grapes, untreated theoretically with any sort of pesticides. What about commercial grapes that have some sort of pesticides on them?
I don't know.
And sulfites or something.
It does seem to be a little worse in raisins, so maybe it's something to do with the sugars or something. You know, we don't know.
All right. Well, I expect a solid answer by the next time or during the fun drive in February. Carrie O'Loughlin, we're done.
Oh.
Thank you very much. Have a great new year. And thanks to everybody who called in. And a reminder, you can hear this program online. We'll get it on the website in about 10 or 15 minutes or so. Underwriting support comes from Curran Compliance Services, Greenwich, New York, compliance and regulatory consultants for life, insurance, and annuity carriers and their distribution partners. Wishing WAMC listeners happy holidays. CurranCompliance.com. Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock at Rhinebeck. With local handcrafted, healthy, and sustainable gifts, home goods, and gourmet foods, customized holiday gift baskets, too, on Facebook and sunflowernatural.com. And the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974, preservenys.org. Thanks again to Dr. O'Loughlin for joining us today. Thanks to you for listening today and all year long. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy, for his sterling service. Your phones were answered by Bruce Herbach, our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Have a safe New Year's Eve celebration. Don't drink and drive. Have fun. We'll be back on Friday for a Food Friday.